get started with the sermon portion. So I'm just going to pray for us again, just that God's going to speak to us in this time. So if you would join your hearts with mine, let's pray together. Father, thanks so much for this moment. And we just submit this to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and to you only. And we just thank you for gathering us together. We thank you for your word. And we pray that you would speak deeply to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So normally, Evangeline reads through my sermons every week, but she's been really crazily busy because she's taking an intensive class in seminary, wrapping up seminary actually this coming week. So she didn't read it, but she, you know, so last night she told me that she was going to share this testimony, which is really my opening illustration. So I'm going to just share a little bit about my version of everything that transpired the last couple of years, and it really captures the heart of today's message. So after Levi went through the initial screenings, once at the hospital, at the day after he was born, then a couple weeks later at the hospital, and he was failing in both ears for his hearing. Obviously, at that point, they told us that there was going to be a definitive test, you know, sometime later, maybe a few months later. But obviously, the prognosis was not all that good, given that he had failed two times. And so, you know, at that point, you know, there was some options and some talking about hearing aids or cochlear implants. Obviously, as a father, that was not ideal to me. And I wanted my son to be healthy, you know, without any hearing aids or any implants. And so, because the appointment was a couple of months away, we prayed a lot. I mean, because it was like at least once a day, probably multiple times a day, just praying specifically for Levi's hearing. A couple months later, we went and took the definitive test. We think that we experienced a miracle, because I mean, to fail the test two times in both years, and then to find out that everything was fine, at that point, was amazing to us. I really felt like that little story parallels the heart of what I wanted to communicate this morning, and I just feel like God has been speaking to me the last couple of weeks to share this message with us about healthy church finances. Because I would say this, when it comes to church finances, I feel like this there's a parallel illustration for us as a church. So I wanted to show us one number. There's a lot of things that you could talk about when you talk about church finances, and I just want to show us one number, and it's this number, about $12,000. First thing I want to say is that the way our church is set up, that the pastors don't have any access to information like who gives or how much people give. I'm thankful for that, because that helps us not to be clouded by that, but just what I'm given is the final number, which is what everybody gets. It's public information posted by the finance office of our church. So this will be the amount that comes in every month from this congregation. Not, this is excluding the Chinese congregation, this congregation, from tithes, when the bags are passed around, online giving, etc. So about $12,000. And I would say that there is a parallel about the whole hearing aid situation, where God has really blessed us, where, you know, ever since we moved into this building, we actually started new ministries. We even started supporting the four missionaries overseas in four different countries and a couple of different ministries that of our church as we continue to grow. And all of that is funded. In fact, there's some excess for us too in for the English congregation. And it's a miracle. We're really thankful for that. But a big portion of that comes from outside sources, not the internal giving that happens in our congregation. And as a spiritual father of this church, I feel that I need to bring that up, because I care less about that we fully fund every single ministry or that even that we continue to grow, but I care that we're healthy. That's a father's heart. I didn't care so much that Levi could turn up the hearing aid and turn it up that it's normal hearing, or he could even have better than normal hearing with the hearing aid. I care that he's healthy. Right? And I care that our church is healthy, not just that we can meet the bottom line and we fund everything and we have excess in the bank account. I care that we're living according to God's word. And in living according to God's word, we're actually living according and in line with God's blessings too. So I wanted to share this message this morning about healthy church finances, and I just want to bring it straight from the word of God. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15, if you could turn there, and I think it's especially important for you to have your Bibles open in front of you this morning, because I want you to know that this is God's word. that that's not me up here, you know, giving, you know, my ideas about church finances and giving, etc., but that you're seeing it come straight from God's word and what God has to say about it to a church in Corinth, the Corinthian church. We happen to be the Vineyard of Harvest Church, but as Paul was saying this to the Corinthian church, what can we also capture his heart in this? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. I'm going to put it up here on the screens on two slides. And so can we just read it interactively a little bit this morning? So this side of the room, can you read the first slide? And then this side of the room, can you read the second slide? Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. So we'll start off on this side. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, outside of them. Just a little bit of background, the Corinthian church much like our church, and they had already decided that they were going to give generously to the church, to God's church. More specifically, they had decided in their hearts that they were going to give generously to the Jerusalem church, which was the headquarter church. They had already decided that. As good and well-intentioned Christians, we would most likely decide we want to give to God's kingdom, we want to give to God's church. But maybe like happens to a lot of us, things came up in their lives and they had not yet made good on that intention and promise to give generously to God's church. And so they didn't yet give that money. And so Paul writes them this letter. And he shares different things in 2 Corinthians, but in chapter 9, he is specifically trying to encourage them to make good on their commitment to give generously to God's church. And we're going to see, I'm going to point out three reasons why Paul was encouraging them, God's encouraging us to give generously to his church. So let's go first to verse 12. And so let's all read that out loud again together. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So it's telling them, as they're giving to God's church, that it's overflowing in expressions of thanks to God. Or it puts it more simply in verse 11. He says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let me put it like this as the first point, the reason why Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to give generously to God's church. God is praised when we generously give to his church. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9, the phrase that he uses, thanksgivings to God. We may use the term testimonies or 90-second testimonies, right? And so we would share the testimonies, and the testimonies emerge, but I wanted to point out this, that a lot of testimonies, even a lot of the testimonies that we share here on Sunday mornings, could be traced back to someone's generous giving to God's kingdom. For us, we've been really blessed that we've been experiencing physical healings in the last 2 years. We shared some even this morning. And that's just a huge blessing that we have received as a church, as a community, and even beyond. But I wanted to point out that, you know, we had two major conferences in the last 2 years, one with Jordan Tseng, one with Robbie Dawkins, that actually cost a lot of money. And as a result of people like some of us in this room and some in the Chinese congregation that gave generously to God's church, we had those conferences, and I would say that those two conferences, they were not the be-all, end-all, but certainly helped catalyze and train us in this certain area of ministry, in this certain area of life in God's kingdom. And so you might say, though, when you hear this, well, but God doesn't need our money to be praised, right? God is just so powerful, he could just do the miracles without us giving, without us praying, without us doing anything. God could already just go ahead and do the miracles. I would agree with you on that, that God doesn't need our money. But if we have that perspective, I would say we're really missing a point that Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian church. Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthian church that God doesn't need us to give. The Corinthian church hadn't yet given yet. God's kingdom was continuing to be established, but because Paul loved that church so much, he was telling them, listen, God wants to partner with you. God wants you to be involved in his work, and that's the reason why he has called us to give. Not that he needs us to give, not that he needs us to pray, not that he needs us to serve in any ministry, but God, as the perfect Heavenly Father, wants us to be involved and a part of it. I want to share a little illustration here that I just could not get it out of my mind when I was preparing this message, or I was meditating on this passage. Mariana's here. She just shared a testimony this morning. She's all grown up now, 19 in college, and you know, working at a summer internship now. But I've known her for so many years. So this story comes from back, way back in the day, like when she was 5, 6, 7 years old. And I asked for her permission that I could share this story. So a long time ago, this is a decade or more ago, we were the church was having a beach outing. And so I was getting stuff ready in the other building that we were in at the time, the Harvest building. And part of what I was doing was I was in charge of bringing the watermelon. So I had this huge watermelon, and Mariana was standing next to me. And I think most everyone had already left to go to the beach. So we were the only ones left, and she's walking next to me. And so I'm carrying the watermelon out of the Harvest building, and Mariana keeps asking me, can I carry the watermelon? Can I carry the watermelon? And I just gently let her know, like, you know, it's really heavy. Just, you know, let me do this, or I tried to give her something else to hold, etc. But she kept asking me, can I carry the watermelon? Can I carry the watermelon? So when we got to the front entrance of the Harvest building, and, you know, I'm almost to my car, then I let her carry it for a little bit. And so she carried it a couple of steps, and then splat right onto the ground, split open. And I had to, in that split moment, decide what I was going to say to her. And I'm so glad God helped me in that moment. And I said to her, don't worry about it. We were going to open it anyway. Don't worry. It's just completely fine. And I really think that that really captures the heart of God. God does not need us. In fact, a lot of times we are incapable of helping him. Giving what, if I can put it this way, what little money that we have doesn't help. It doesn't help God's kingdom overall, if I can just put it that way. God doesn't need that. But he wants us to be part of it. And that's the reason why Paul cared so much about the Corinthian church to bring this up. I mean, this is a sensitive topic, but Paul brought it up to the Corinthian church because he loved them. He cared about them. And more importantly, he knew that God cared about them. God wanted them to have a part in it. And so he began to call them to make good on their commitment to generously give to God's church. Why? Because God is praised when we generously give to his church. But not only that, not only is God praised when we give to his church, but if you can look at verse 10 and 11, and we can just read this out loud together, or just verse 10. So let's read it together. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, or let me put it where, well, Paul puts it in a sort of a proverb for Matt in verse 6. So verse 6, can you read it out loud together? He says this, remember this. So Paul was saying to them, I'm not telling you to give just because God is praised, although that's super important. But he's telling them, actually he starts off this little section this way. He says, I'm telling you this to live in line with God's word so that you will live in line with God's blessing. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to sow generously so that they would reap generously. Listen, this is counterintuitive, right? This is not the way our economy on this earth works, but God's economy is different. I just want to share with you this morning just my empirical evidence from 16 years of doing church ministry. Lots of conversations through the years, right, about tithing, giving 10% of our income to the church, to God's kingdom, and just conversations with people. And I want to point this out, 100% of the time, I've had 16 years of conversations with people, 100% of the time, when I talk to people who have been giving, tithing, answering God's call to give generously to God's church, 100% of the time, people will say to me, I've been tithing, and I can't believe it, I can't explain it, but I see an overflow. I see an abundance. I don't know how God took care of all the rest and God's blessing came in, but it just happened. The people that gave the 10%, 100% of the time, 16 years of conversations. But I also have other conversations with people who have not been giving, who have not been tithing. And a lot of times, this is the way the conversation goes. Maybe not verbatim, but this is the way it goes. I can't tithe. I can't afford to tithe. Just think about this. The people who have been giving faithfully, generously, 10%, a lot of times above 10%, would say that they're living in abundance. But the people who are not giving would say that they can't even afford to give. I want to say this is the principle of God's word. He doesn't just call us to give and just want to just strap us down and just squeeze every last penny out of us. He's calling us to live according to his principles so that we will receive his blessings. Live in line with God's word so that we live in line with God's blessings. You know, for those of you who've been around our church for a while, know that I preach on giving. I try to preach on it at least once a year. Even though it's a sensitive topic, lots of other churches don't talk about it, but I feel that I need to talk about it. Why? It's just kind of like the way that I deal with my two sons. There's a lot of stuff that I tell them that like, for example, I'll tell them they need to pick up their toys. There's a lot of reasons why I tell them that they need to pick up their toys. But a huge reason, and I would say one of the big reasons I tell them that they need to pick up their toys is that's good for them. That's good for their future. That's a good principle to live by. And so I want to, as a spiritual father of our church, call us to give and live in line with God's word so that it will be good for us, so that we are blessed. Where I'll put it this way, for the second point, we are blessed when we give generously to God's church. Yes, God is praised when we give generously to God's church, but we are blessed when we give generously to God's church. And I feel like that's important for Paul to, it was important for Paul to speak to the Corinthian church, and I feel like it's very important for me to say this morning to the Vineyard of Harvest Church. But not only that, not only is God praised when we give generously to God's church, not only are we blessed when we generously give to God's church, but let's look at verse 13. Can we read this out loud together as well? Because of the service, but our obedience needs to accompany our confession of Christ. God certainly calls us to go out there and preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus, that Jesus is the be-all, end-all. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one to rescue us from our sins. We need to preach that out there. But Paul was saying there's got to be something that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and it's got to be your obedience. And he was specifically speaking about their obedience to give generously to God's church. I want to use a kind of non-spiritual example this morning, and I'll put the point up here. Our obedience to give generously to God's church convinces the world that the gospel is true. It's what accompanies our confession of the gospel of Christ. So I wanted to use a non-spiritual example just to help convey the point that Paul is trying to get across. So how many of you guys are familiar with Shark Tank, the TV show Shark Tank? Okay, that happens to be one of my favorite shows these days, but it's a show that the premise of it is that there's an entrepreneur, a business person, or an inventor that comes before a panel of really wealthy investors. And so the job of that entrepreneur is to convince those investors to invest in their company. And so here I'm going to show us about a two-minute clip of a golf putter company that's trying to get these investors to come on board and give him the investment, but they're dropping out left and right. You know, I'm out. And then this happens. So let's play this clip and see. Take a look.
Tell me a little bit about you guys. What motivates you guys to want to start your own business?
I'm engaged to a... I'm engaged, and my fiance lives in Japan, and she can't come out here unless I make this happen. I could have just continued my job as a consultant, making fine money. But this is my dream.
Why can't she come here unless this works?
Yeah, why?
Because I want this to be stable, and...
You can't afford her to come here.
That's why I'm here today. It could wait, but... I mean, I'm... Oh, woe is me, like, I can't get married, but... It's like, do I have to choose between my company of my dreams and my fiance? She's sitting there waiting. It's been two years since I proposed to her. And at that time, I was working in consulting, and her parents approved. And now they don't approve. They think I'm crazy. And
Because you started a business?
Yeah, I think in their culture, they're a little bit more conservative in the sense that they value someone who goes 9-to-5 job or...
So culturally, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's moving, I gotta tell you.
So obviously we don't have time to watch the whole thing. He got the investment. He convinced the judges. They were dropping out left and right, but he convinced them because they realized that he was all in, that there was something that accompanied his confession of his product, of his golf putting company. You know, I want to say this is the way that we're going to win the world. Yeah, we need to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. We certainly need to do that. But Paul was telling the Corinthian church there needs to be obedience that accompanies the confession of the gospel. Listen, when the world begins to see that we begin to give generously to God's kingdom, give generously to God's church, that we're not just talk, we're not just telling people all of these truths, all of these ideologies, but we're living it. We're giving to God's church. We're giving to his kingdom. We're investing in this kingdom because we actually believe in it. And listen, I want to say, you might say, well, you know, there's other ways that we can live out the gospel, other ways of obedience, love other people, be patient with people, respect other people. And I would say, I would agree with that. But let me say that for the Corinthian church, it was really important for them to be giving generously to God's church. You know why? Because Corinth was an extremely wealthy city, maybe like Los Angeles. And they were a commerce center. And there was all sorts of luxuries that's coming in and out of Corinth, maybe like Los Angeles. And there's lots of people that were spending money on all sorts of different luxuries, maybe like Los Angeles. And so Paul was telling them, listen, everyone is watching because everyone else is spending on all the other luxuries. But when they see you as a Corinthian church, the Christian church, giving generously to God's kingdom and not just spending on those luxuries, not that there's anything wrong with luxuries, but when they begin to see you giving to God's kingdom, it's going to be the obedience that accompanies the confession of faith that's going to convince the world that Jesus is true, that Jesus is worth it, that Jesus is worth it to us, and so Jesus should be worth it to them. Listen, you might say, you know, like, does people need to watch us and know how much money that we're giving? Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. As we put our treasure into God's kingdom, as we put the treasure into God's church, our heart begins to turn. Our heart begins to turn to God's kingdom. Our heart begins to turn towards God. And listen, people don't need to watch us put the money into the bags, but people are going to watch our hearts, and they're going to see our hearts turning to Jesus, turning to God, turning to God's kingdom, and that's going to speak volumes to the people out there, not just by our words, but we need obedience that accompanies our confession of faith. Hopefully this morning that, you know, we're seeing that there's these three things. God is praised when we give generously to God's church. We are blessed. We're living in line with God's blessing when we give generously to God's church. But also that out of this obedience, this is part of the witness. This is part of the testimony to our community, to our friends. Not that they need to see us, but it's going to be in the spirit. And it's going to be about our hearts turning to God. And people are going to begin to see our hearts turning to God, and that's going to be a witness and a testimony to the world. As I close, hopefully there is a response to this word this morning, but I want to land on this. God is the greatest giver of all. We can't outgive God. And I feel like this morning God wants to give to us. I feel like God wants us to respond to his word, but God wants to give to us. And I specifically feel like James 1:5 talks about how God gives wisdom generously to all without finding fault who ask of him. And I feel like God wants to give generous portions of wisdom this morning. Some of us are navigating situations of work, of life, of family, etc. And I feel like God wants to give wisdom. I feel like that as we begin to pray this morning, I feel like God wants to just give freely, generously of wisdom. He doesn't want to just squeeze us for our money or our resources, but I feel like God wants to be the one that set the example this morning. If you're here this morning and you need wisdom, listen, there's generous portions of wisdom from heaven for you this morning. I also feel like this morning that as we're talking about specifically about giving finances, I feel like God is going to set the example this morning. There's some of us here this morning, we're struggling in some finances, and God wants to give it. And God wants to bring breakthrough to certain financial situations this morning. If you're here this morning, you have some financial situations, come receive prayer this morning. No one's going to know the difference of what you come up for. We're saying come and receive prayer for any and all things. But this morning, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with your finances, listen, God is not just trying to squeeze you for every last penny out of your life. He is the greatest giver of all. If you're here struggling with some financial needs or situations in your family, let God deposit this morning in the spirit and even in the natural financial resources. Last thing that I want to say, because I know some of us are young here and we say, yeah, this doesn't apply to me about finances. I don't have any finances. Listen, give God your word. Give God your word, because he will take you up on your word. Give him your word in your heart. You might say, I don't have any resources right now. But give him your word, which represents your heart. And God will take you up on your word. Not because he's trying to squeeze every last penny out of you, but he wants you to live in line with his word so that you're going to live in line with his blessing. He wants you. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. So just the way that I deal with Silas and Levi, and I'm calling them to do certain things, not just because I'm just trying to be a mean dad to them, because I'm trying to be a loving dad to them. That's God's heart for us. Let's pray together. Look, worship team, if you can come forward this morning. Prayer team, if you can come forward this morning as well. So as we close, there's these two specific things, wisdom and also financial resources, but you might have other needs as well. We'd love to pray for you. So prayer team, if you can come forward at this time. And I just want to prayer of confession, okay, on behalf of the church, because I just feel like that we need to, I just feel like we need to make it right before God. The number that I put up there, about $12,000, doesn't represent our attendance or demographic, if you know what I mean. And God calls us to give. So I just want to pray a prayer of repentance. Father, we care about your kingdom in this church. And Lord, please forgive us if we've been caring about ourselves and other things and putting our finances towards other things. Please forgive us in that. We want to make it right. And I just want to say, Lord, we want to live in line with your word. And I pray that you'd help people here in our midst, our church members, to live in line with your word so that we would live in line with your blessings. So I pray, Lord, according to who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh. You're the greatest giver of all. You're the God who provides. So I pray that you release your blessings this morning. Release your blessings here this morning. So we thank you for who you are. You are faithful. You are the giver. And we worship you. Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.